This is a life-changing message from New Life Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas. There is a light in me. And now, let's join Bishop Ivy Hillier.
Repeat after me, this is my Bible. Oh, come on, say it like you mean it. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. In the book of Jude, verse 20, it says, "But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference. And others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen." We're teaching from this subject, living life to make a difference. Would you repeat that? Living life to make a difference. Now, today starts another division, but we covered already and defined what a difference maker is. It's a person who understands their purpose in life and has the strength of character to do things other people are not willing to do. We taught then on giving to make a difference. And I tell you, last week, y'all gave and made a difference. Amen. But we focus on having a mind, a kingdom mindset, a God-first mindset in our approach to living and our approach to giving. And our focus was that, as the Spirit of God spoke to me, that we would seek first the kingdom of God, and that we would seek kingdom surplus. That kingdom surplus would be in three areas. I hope you got it. Didn't just think it was the financial area, but in the area of workers, so that the work of God could be done with excellence. We'd have enough workers, surplus of workers. Secondly, a surplus of resources, the financial resources, and then the surplus of opportunities, that God would open more doors of opportunity for us to share his message with others. And so I want to applaud you for last week. It was great. Kingdom surplus is needed to establish the covenant of God. It's needed to evangelize the world, and it's needed to expand the work of God. And that's what we want to focus on today. And I want you to go with your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, because in this division, we want to talk about witnessing to make a difference. Witnessing to make a difference. Now, I didn't think y'all was going to stand up and shout, and I didn't think y'all was going to applaud, and I really didn't think y'all was going to start running around the church because I said witnessing, because most people don't really understand how valuable witnessing is. So that's my purpose as pastor, to teach you. So for the next 30 minutes or so, I'm going to talk to you about witnessing to make a difference. And you can make a difference in the lives of others and your own life as you embrace the mandate that he gives us to be a witness. When we are saved and brought into the kingdom of God, then he wants us to be a difference makers in society. So in Matthew chapter 5, as Jesus was teaching there, in verse 13, if you'll go there with me, he says, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salty? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. City that is set on the hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." And so we can see just from this passage of teaching that Jesus wants us to be distinguishedly different from the world. In fact, we ought to set the standard for others. We're the light. We're the salt. We ought to be those who influence others. And so with that, of course, you know, anytime there is anything that happens in a society and in the community, everybody looks to the church. Amen. And so, of course, we do applaud those churches that are having hoodie day today. You understand? We applaud. We don't have a hoodie day. We're praying for the family. You follow me? We're praying for those who are in authority, that their hearts be turned so justice can be done. And that's what we're praying for. Amen? So we're not ignoring it. We just approach it a different way. So that's where our hearts have been. That's where my prayers have been. And so, but that's the purpose of the church. We stand as beacon lights in society. Amen. We are influencers. Now, we want to use that influence not just to change social and civil matters, but to change the hearts of men. Because the message that we have is a message that they cannot get anywhere else. Now, go open your Bibles to Acts chapter 1. Because a kingdom witness is a person who has seen, experienced an event and reports what happens. It's a person who represents the truth, represents the kingdom of God, and represents Christ in the earth. Next couple of weeks, we'll have Easter Sunday. Now, Easter Sunday is just a time in our society where folk who don't ever go to church, go to church. Well, I'm like this. If they're going to go to church, might as well come to my church, because I got something to tell them. Got it? I got something to tell them. So we don't want to miss this opportunity, this marvelous opportunity for evangelism, marvelous opportunity to influence and impact lives, because we're going to be celebrating family. And how many know if family ain't right? Ooh. That's all I have to say. I don't even have words to say. This, ooh. If family ain't right, you understand? And so if there's peace in the home and there's peace in family and you know how to manage a family relationship, then you can be partakers of that abundant life. You can enjoy life. So that's what our whole focus that one day is going to be about. And we're going to equip believers so when they leave here, they're going to have something in their hands so that they can know how to manage their family lives. We're going to do that. Well, we want you to be a part of influencing others to come to church, others to watch it by way of the internet. Amen? All right? But just to say that is not enough, because Jesus has said it all down through history. When we look at the Bible and we supposed to be witnesses, your folk don't do it. All right, let me ask you a question. How many know you're supposed to tell somebody about Jesus? Wave at me. Okay. Put your hands down. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you told somebody about Jesus this week. I'm not going to do that, because I don't want you, you know. Some of y'all, the camera on, y'all be lying in church. I want you to do that. So I'm not going to ask that. But I think you understand my drift. Look at verse 8, it says. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Hear the words of Jesus. Says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is upon you, is come upon you, and you shall be what?
Witnesses
unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. So he leaves this as his parting mandate to the disciples, that I want you to be representatives of me. I want you to be witnesses. I want you to tell others of your experience. I want you to tell others of what I can do for them. And so it's clear. Now, our points today is very simple. Two major points. Point number one is the revelation of our responsibility to witness. The revelation of our responsibility to witness. And then we'll talk about the resolve for responsible witnessing. Because, and I want to get to the second part, because I think we all know we're supposed to do it. But why is it, does it seem so difficult? Of course, I used my Twitter family on yesterday, and I tweeted the question, why is it so difficult for people to witness? And boy, I mean, the answers that they gave me, the responses were incredible and varied, all right? But I think if I had to put one, if I could sum it all up, it's a matter of heart. It's not on the hearts of people.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because most people get saved and they have a very selfish perspective that must be corrected. In other words, when folk get saved, they think it's all about them. They don't understand, I'm blessed to be a blessing. And when the scripture says, for God so loved the world, he meant that. See, most people say, for God so loved me, and so I'm saved, it's all right. No. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So he gave his son for the world. Everybody say he gave his son for the world. All right. So, and then because of the grace factor, the grace is that once I'm saved, you follow me? Jesus says, nobody can snatch you out of my hand. You are on your way to heaven. All you've got to do to get to heaven is die. And that security is good. But at the same time, that security causes folk to be lazy. Okay, I'm going to heaven anyway, right? So if I don't tell nobody about Jesus, I'm still going to heaven, right? Now, unlike, well, there is a cult that ties your going to heaven with the folk you get saved. And that's why they're out always knocking on them doors trying to get folk saved, because they done tied that. Now, scripture don't tie it that way, but they have taught it that way, that in order to get saved, you got to be out here witnessing. You got it? And so they are very passionate, you follow me, door to door, all the time, rain, shine, sleet, or snow. And when we see them coming, we tell everybody, don't you answer that door. Don't you answer that door. All right. I want you to get where I'm going now. The selfishness is a lack of maturity. Because people are, you know, when you're new in anything, you're immature in it. And it's just like a child. Child gets born, a child comes into the earth, very selfish. Mine, that's the first word they learn. Mine. That's the way believers are. It's all about them. You follow me? Why my seat, you understand? You know, everything is about them. You kind of grow to the point where you understand, go to Matthew chapter 6, that the antidote for that is that, you know, we read the scripture. The scripture tells us that, hey, we got to deny ourselves. That's when you start growing up, when it's about more than just you. And so my purpose today is to get you stirred in faith so that you will become very passionate as you are about prosperity, as passionate as you were, and I praise the Lord, you were about us reaching our goal, that we become as passionate or even greater passionate about seeing the lives of people change. Have you ever thought about what would have happened if nobody had ever told you about Jesus? What would your life have been? I'm glad Miss Rachel told me about Jesus when I was a little boy. And so as a result, I grew up, of course, in a home that had promoted a God consciousness. We were conscious of God. You know, Mom taught us to, you know, say a Bible verse before we ate our food. People don't do that now, you understand? But you couldn't touch the food, let you say your Bible verse. Of course, we had that salt when Jesus wept. Come, let's get it on. Understand? We come with no long verse. Jesus wept. Now let's get it on. But that God consciousness there caused me to be anchored in a belief of God. But everybody is not like that, you understand? But I thank God that I grew up in that kind of setting. But because I grew up in that kind of setting, I value it. I understand that when I went through challenges in life, because I had this God consciousness, I could turn to him and he could help me. But there are a lot of people who are not like that. And so you got to understand, what if, you know, nobody ever told you anything about Jesus? Are you in Matthew chapter 16 now? I want you to, what did I tell you? What did I tell you? Well, I'm in 16, so y'all can stay over in 6 if you want to. But I'm in 16 and I'm going to go on and read what I got to do, all right? All right. Look at verse 24. Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him, what? Deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. That word deny self is that's the hardest thing, because we are brought up in a very selfish culture. It's all about me. You know, all the promotions and the marketing is all about what's in it for you. But when you come to Jesus, he says, listen now, if you're going to walk with me, the first thing you got to do is get beyond thinking it's all about you. Now, I know that's not popular, and I really didn't think through this first, 9-10 minutes of my lesson, I would get a rousing response. But I'm going to get it before we're over with. We'll get down the road, you follow me? Now, I want you to go with me in your Bibles, look at another passage in Matthew 28. Matthew 28, I'm keeping it real simple, keeping it all in the book of Matthew. All right? The sovereign perspective, what God wants, must be cultivated. Now, the selfish perspective must be corrected, and the sovereign perspective must be cultivated. In other words, when I find out what God wants, it's just not going to automatically happen. I got to do something so that that becomes a part of my life. All right? Verse 19. This is the Great Commission. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Now, these are the parting words of Jesus from his disciples. And he tells them, I want you to go into all the world. So if, when it comes to God's priority, a sovereign priority, it's crystal clear. God wants us to go and tell the message of his love to others. Amen. 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 A little more enthusiastic amen would help.
Amen.
All right. So now, write these down. He wants us to touch others. He wants us to teach others. He wants us to train others. And he wants us to testify to others. Everybody say, touch others. He wants us to go where they are, and he wants us to touch them. Now, to touch them with hands of compassion, we're going to talk about that a little later. Number two, he wants us to teach others. He says others need to be instructed on who he is and how he operates and how to get to know him. Train others. In other words, what we do, he wants us to train them to do. And then testify. Everybody say testify.
Testify.
Now, he wants us to tell others of our experience with him because that is the most persuasive conversation that you can have. When you testify, all right, you go find a place that's got a sale and you tell your girlfriend, hey, let me tell you what's going on down here. Understand? I mean, when you find a good sale, a good deal, you want to tell somebody. Amen. And it is your testimony that is most persuasive. That's why on television, when they are promoting a product, they have a person there saying, oh, I used it. And they try to make that person as, even though that person is most of the time is a paid talent, they try to make that person as common as they can. So you can identify with the person so you'll understand what happened to them will happen to you. Yeah. Got it? Even though it's far-fetched. You know, this guy bought a car and then he got 10 women following him. Amen. You follow me? And he ain't that good-looking. So you think, I'm going to get me a car. Praise the Lord. All right, now. Everybody say testify.
Testify.
A testimony is an articulate affirmation and acknowledgement of a victorious experience that glorifies God, points people to Jesus. Amen. It's the articulation, affirmation, acknowledgement of a victorious experience that glorifies God, points men to Jesus. What happened to the demoniac in the Bible? This guy was a crazy man in the community. He got saved. Jesus told him, you go home and tell everybody what happened to you. Woman at the well, left the water pot, went through the city, tell everybody, I found a man. I met a man. He told me everything I'd done. So it's about a testimony. It's very powerful. And really, that is what lifestyle evangelism is all about. Lifestyle evangelism is about you just simply telling others of how good God has been to you in your life. Amen. Now, the Old Testament, Proverbs 11 and 30 says, he that winneth souls is wise. So the Bible lets us know a person who goes after souls or who's caring about others, who does this, the Bible considers them as a wise person. When I look at the New Testament and I look at the scriptural priority in the Bible, I see that the mission of Jesus was clear. He said, I am sent to seek and to save that which is lost. It was clear. And not only was his mission clear, his teaching was clear. In John chapter 15, let's go there, John chapter 15. He says, I want you to go and bring others. That's what I want you to do. I'm just showing you what the Bible says, and then we'll show you how to make this a passion for your life. Because just to see it in the Bible doesn't get you all excited. All right, verse 16 says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. Everybody say, go and bring. All right, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. So he's going to reward me. That whatever I ask in his name, I'm a soul winner. I'm a person who reaches others for the Lord. I'm the salt of the earth. I'm the light of the world. I'm a person who's an influencer and a witness. He says that he will honor my prayer life. Amen. Amen. Yet that does not seem to be enough to get people involved.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The model of Jesus is clear. You find him at the woman at the well with the woman who was nobody liked because she had to come in the middle of the day. Because I think you know, all the other ladies didn't like her. I mean, she's a woman who take your man from him. And so anyway, so met with Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a despised person. He was a tax collector, and he was a ruthless, and he was the kind of person nobody liked. Yet Jesus was there talking with him. And even though the other Pharisees, religious leaders, got to say, you know who he is? Yeah, I know who he is, but he was somebody that God loved anyway. Amen. Nicodemus was a high class, religious man. And yet Jesus talked with him because he loved everybody and wanted everybody to get the message. Well, preacher, how do I get this resolve? Go back to Jude 20, because it's our answer. When you look at the resolve for responsible witnessing, resolve is a disciplined, non-relenting passion for something. In other words, I'm passionate about this. It's discipline is enforced obedience, which means even when I don't feel like it. Got it. Well, how do you get from being a passive Christian to a person who is very passionate about seeing others want? I'm going to give you that key today. And if you will do what I instruct you to do today from the scripture, then witnessing to others will not be a labor. It will not be something that you have to push yourself to do, but it'll be something that just flows out of you. You got it? And it becomes a joy to your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, Jude 20 gives us the answer right quick. I'll read that and then I'll show you some other passages. Because, I have this passion about seeing folk wander the Lord. In fact, I ask God to send us the hard cases. Amen. I have so much confidence in his power to save and to deliver that I don't mind saying, God, you can send us the hard case. The cases folk don't even want. You can send, 'cause I've seen what he has done. In Jude verse 20, we started there. It says, you beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God. Now, he's spouting here, or he's giving us here, the behavior of a believer as we wait on Christ to come back. And he says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ on the eternal life. And then verse 22 is our answer. So I want you to highlight verse 22, make a mark on it, do whatever you have to do. He says, And of some have compassion, making a difference. The key is this compassionate factor. It is this, everybody say compassion. No, that's the key. That's the key because it causes you to override all of the compromising reservations that we have for witnessing. And that is, people don't witness because they make an excuse based on the irresponsibility or irresponsible others. In other words, so-and-so is not doing anything, so I'm not doing it. All right? They don't witness because they see personal witnessing and telling others about Jesus. They see it as extracurricular activity. I really don't need to do that. They also don't witness because it is a distraction from their personal agenda. In other words, if I tell somebody about Jesus, then what are they going to think about me down the line? They're ignorant of, people don't tell us about Jesus because they're ignorant of the law of reciprocity. What I make happen for you, God's going to make happen for me. So God's not going to let my effort go in vain. All right? Then they are reluctant because of the negative naysayers and haters who look for opportunities to condemn and discount them. Oh, you don't tell me about Jesus, huh? Or you're going to tell me about you like you got your life together. Your life ain't all that. All right. So many people are intimidated. They're intimidated. When you understand that you are not that light, but you bear witness of the light. In other words, I ain't Jesus. So I got flaws. But I want to point you to Jesus who has no flaws. Now this is the key to escaping intimidation, to get beyond intimidation in ministry. I remember at first, when I first started understanding the Bible says lay hands on the sick, I really didn't want to lay hands on the sick. I really didn't want to do that. Okay? Because my thing was, what if I lay hands on them and they don't get healed? Then I took it personal, like it was my fault. Well, first, I got beyond that by revelation from the word. I didn't tell me to lay hands. Amen. He said me to lay hands. Amen. It's his responsibility to heal them. All right, watch this. So if I lay hands on them and they die, ain't my fault. Amen. Now, I'm not believing for them to die. But see, you don't hold all the keys in your hand. A person can desire to go be with the Lord when they want to. And you got all the faith for them to live, and they tell them, come quickly, come get me, Jesus, come get me, Jesus. Well, Jesus is what will receive them. You follow me? So, but I had that thing. I was intimidated. Man, if I lay hands on them and they don't get healed, then what folk gonna think about me? Well, I got beyond that when I understood that's not my responsibility. My responsibility is that of obedience. And if I obey him, then others left to him. Well, see, that's the same way with witnessing. People don't like to witness to others because they say, what if somebody rejects it? Then they take it personal, as though they have been rejected. No, the Bible says one person plants, another waters, God gives the increase. You could just be a waterer along the way. You could just be somebody who's affirming something that they've already heard. So when you take yourself out, your pride, your flesh out of the equation, then it's easy. Because all I am is the mailman. I did not write the letter. All right, now watch this. Go with your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Because we want to look now at this whole thing of being a difference maker, having compassion. Everybody say, having compassion? Making the difference. All right, so a difference maker, we'll give this definition. An individual who is distinguished by having the strength of character to step forward in times of adversity and controversy, to use their anointing, their ability, and their actions to make a positive difference. Being assured of God's power to deliver. God's power to make a difference. In other words, I'm a difference maker, and all I'm doing is I have the strength of character to step forward. In other words, here's a situation. I'm called. I step forward in that situation, and I believe that the anointing on my life, the abilities that I have, the action, my action will make a difference in this situation. Now, compassion is the key. And I learned this years ago. Everybody say compassion is the key. Compassion is the key. That is really the key to this resolve, this relentless effort. Because otherwise, you do it out of duty. And when you're doing it out of duty, it becomes monotonous and it's not ministry. Okay. All right, verse 36, it says, and when he saw the multitude, he was moved with, come on, talk to me for just a little bit. Moved with what? I'm about to help you. I'm about to show you how to turn the corner in caring for your family, caring for others. It's a lack of compassion. No, it's a lack of caring compassion. You get to the point in life where folk get on your nerve. Even folk in your family get on your nerve. You follow me? You don't want to be bothered with them. And I'm about to show you how to turn the corner. So many of y'all in your marriage is just duty. Hallelujah. And when he saw the multitude, he was moved with what? Come on, class. Because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to the disciples, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Then he says what? Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth what? I don't think most people understand that. He didn't say pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send the harvest, but he said he send laborers. The key is laborers. Laborers who care. Laborers who have compassion. Because without compassion, you know, folk are just, you know, nameless, faceless individuals. But when I've got compassion, then there's something that touches me about a need that you have to know my Savior that compels me to tell you. I don't want to see you go to hell. I don't want to see you live beneath your privilege. I want you to have everything God wants you to have. All right, now that comes. Now here's how it comes. That comes, compassion comes by faith. Okay, I got a testimony. I got to get to it. Compassion comes by faith. Now watch this. Go quickly now to Psalms 86. Psalms 86. Quickly. Psalms 86. That was a time in my life when, man, I tell you, I just, you understand, I've been preaching going on 50 years. Everybody say, with his young looking self. Okay, now watch this now. So you know, from a little boy, you know, I got my young adult age, you know, I done been through so much stuff with church folk, and boy, I can tell you, y'all a piece of work sometime. And, you know, no, serious, folk are. Not everybody, but there's some folk are. Y'all be looking at me like that, be judging me. But anyway, let me tell you. So you get to the point where you just, Lord, I could do something else. I could really do something else. But, you know, you called me, so I got to do this. So you're doing it out of duty. You understand? I go pray for you, but I ain't feeling nothing. I ain't empty in inside. I ain't empty. You understand? Go to the hospital, pray for the sick, empty. Know him with all, praise the Lord. You understand? You know what I'm saying? Got to marry her. I know the script. Blah, 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 blah. She may salute your wife. All right, let's get out of here. Where my car? You understand? Just going through the, y'all hear me? Some of y'all doing that every day, but I'm just talking about right now. So what? So I know something wrong with me. You know, I throw myself under the bus. I know something wrong with me, you understand? Because that ain't the way you're supposed to be. I'm a pastor. I ought to feel it anyway, you understand? You heard me crying. I'm going, oh, my God, I'm going to get out of this thing. Uh-huh. Oh, Jesus, you understand? So I go to God. I go to God. God, you got to help me. You got to help me. I ain't supposed to be like this. If I am cold on the inside. Just, man. So I go to God. And he shows me what I'm about to show you, that it's a lack of compassion. Somewhere along the way, I lost it. And I had to get it back. Otherwise, I could not genuinely care. I could go through the motion, but I wouldn't really care. I know you get quiet on that because it's conviction. It's conviction. Some of y'all are going, oh, my God. Damn. All right, here's the key. Here's the key. God is a God of compassion.
Amen.
I'm going to show you in a moment. All right. When I get saved, the nature of God comes on the inside of me. So whatever he is, it's dormant on the inside of me. I had to stir it up. So I'm saying on inside every one of you is the compassion of Jesus. And by faith, you can stir it up.
That's right.
And when you stir it up, you start caring.
That's right.
Oh, I know they ain't that real deep, but that's it. So listen, I start praying for compassion, that sort of thing, and confessing compassion. And, you know, Brittany used to watch movies and start crying. I'd be going, girl, get a grip. That ain't real. I mean, come on. You understand? Some of y'all in there cry right now, don't you? That's good. No. So now I've been cold all this time. I've been start confessing compassion and praying for compassion. All of a sudden we were looking at this movie. And this thing, this tear start. Oh no. It happened. Karen came back. That's what you got to have. For us to reach out to others and to be consistent. Amen. It can't be because we just tell you to go pass out a flyer. It's got to be because down on the inside, something has happened and that you really care. All right, you should be where I told you.
Psalms 86.
I got to give a scripture. Verse 15 says, but thou, O Lord, are a God full of what? He's full of what?
Compassion.
All right, now go to 2 Peter chapter 1. Just want to give you a scripture reference for what I've given, because out of this is the basis for what I'm going to ask you to do. You know, I ask you to pray for surplus for the kingdom. I'm going to ask you to start praying for compassion.
Amen.
And watch God do something in your heart. And watch the atmosphere of our church change. Because compassion sets the stage for supernatural things to happen. All right? 2 Peter chapter 1. And look there in verse 4. It says, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine. Come on, class, divine what?
Nature.
Now, we just read the nature of God, what's in his nature. And one of the elements in his nature was compassion.
Right.
We're to be partakers of his divine nature. So I'm saying, even though I don't care how cold you have been,
mm-hmm.
husbands, listen to me. I don't care how cold you were brought up.
Okay.
When you start praying for compassion,
yeah.
your heart will soften up.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
See, this is what nobody ever taught us. They just told us, well, you're supposed to. You can tell me what I'm supposed to do, but if you don't tell me how to do it, nothing's going to change. And I'm telling you, you need to begin to confess the compassion of Jesus. When that happens, it changes your life. I was in Jamaica as a child, as a young kid, 17 years old, and out of duty, they asked us to minister salvation to a group of kids. I didn't know how to do it. I was embarrassed before God, not because none of the kids that was with us knew how to do it. I was embarrassed before God. So I learned how to minister salvation to people. I learned how to do that. But when I start praying for compassion, something totally happened on the inside of me. I mean, it's not a push. I really got something good.
Right.
No, I really found something good. I found peace.
Amen.
I found what to do when you're all stressed out. I found that you don't have to be alone. I found that you don't have to fight life all by yourself.
Amen.
And I really want you to have it. Amen, amen. I'm so passionate about it, I can't get one thing out of my mind. There was a kid years ago I think it was the first church I pastored. I make the appeal that Sunday, and he was sitting on the back row. Never forget it. Little church on Paul Quinn, St. Paul Baptist Church. In the bottom. And, you know, that Sunday I had preached and that sort of thing. And Rob, the Lord told me, she said, appeal for that kid. He needs to get saved. But everybody was kind of tired. You know how folks get tired in church? Like, we ready to go home. You know, I done hooped and sang and done my thing, you understand? I'm ready to go too. But the Lord said, appeal for it. So I said, I'll do it next week. I get it next week. I think Tuesday we found out he died. I don't know if anybody got to him or not. All I knew is I dropped the ball.
Yeah.
And this happened, oh my God, this had to be 35 years ago.
Yeah.
At least 35, maybe 36 years ago. I dropped the ball that day. I promised God I'd never drop the ball again.
Amen.
That's why when we appeal for the lost, see, you don't know who the Spirit of God has brought here. He's brought people here, you know, everything ain't going right in their lives. They come for answers. And how can we be so disrespectful of the moment that we won't just take the time to pray? Our appeals only take about 5 minutes. It's only about 5 minutes. And yet, at that moment, people, they start walking, they start doing other things. You know, they don't just close their Bible, they close their Bibles with drama. Y'all know they're on your road. Yeah, they're on your road. When they think I ought to be through. Watch this. And we miss the moment. It's not because we don't have the knowledge. It's the compassion. Do you not know, and I close with this, angels wait for folk to get saved. With harps in their hands, they wait. And in John 15, it says, when just one sinner repents, look, they drop that harp and the angels start shouting. The answer, New Light, is compassion. Can I get you just to pray for God to give you, stir up in you the compassion of Jesus? If we do that, we're going to see something happen. I mean, serious. Talking to God about us, you're giving your testimony, it's not going to be a problem. You're not going to be intimidated with anybody because you know your testimony just may be the story that turns a person's situation around. Reach over, touch somebody's hand right now. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we just thank you. We thank you for this word on compassion. And God, just as they are, our church has been so faithful in their giving and faithful, Father, in doing other things, God, we want to be faithful in winning the lost and touching others, teaching others, training others, and giving our testimony. And so, Father, now we receive and we stir up the compassion of Jesus so that we're never the same when it comes to reaching the lost. In Jesus' name, give the Lord a big shout.